There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have you here. Remember, streaming live at fmtalk1065.com. Plus, while you're there, check out podcasts. 54 hours a week of live local shows coming from this studio right here in Mobile at Airport and 65, and they're waiting for you. So if you want to get them a la carte, you can go download them through the website, fmtalk1065.com. Just click the podcast tab, or better yet, subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Deezer. If there's a podcast platform out there, we're most likely on it. So make sure to sign up and subscribe and get them delivered to your phone right there. All right. As I mentioned, as we went into the news, being joined by Representative Chip Brown, District 105 here in Alabama. Lots to talk about. Stepped off the floor long enough to talk to us. Thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you, Sean. It's always great to be with you.
Got to ask you before we got, it's good to have you back on. And before we start digging into specific bills and talking about that, give me just like your take of the this first week here in session, like all the stuff we talked about in the past, how the social distancing, the new rules, all that stuff. How's that working out?
Well, you know, it's interesting. you have to definitely be flexible. We all yesterday were tested, and we had one member that was positive, and he was sent home. And that was on Tuesday. And then they have temperature checks before you come in the building. And then they've basically broken us up where, you know, normally on the floor of the house, we're all crammed in there, 105 members in close quarters. And what they've done is they've taken us and spread us out. Some of us are in the balcony in the gallery, and then there's even a couple of spillover rooms, and they figured out a voting mechanism with some software to be able to vote our specific. It's tied to our system on the floor, and so we're able to vote via iPads that they're giving us to use each day. And it's working. I mean, today was really the first day that we actually had votes because we just went in session. The start of the session was Tuesday. So today we actually voted on four different bills, and it worked. Came off without a hitch. So, you know, I'm hopeful for the rest of the session.
All right. And I am too. And hopefully, I don't know. I understand not having the access to the halls there for the people. I understand that makes it's got to be tough on the lobbyist. I'm really crying a river for them.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, they still have a phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, they still call. And, And you know, it's what I miss on that too is just the ability so far of constituents to be able to come up here and meet with us directly. I mean, as you know, you've been in the state house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of us, our doors are always open and willing to talk to people, and that's one of the beauties I think that is unique about Alabama state government versus a lot of other states is there's really no clearinghouse. You come in, and if you want to meet with a particular House member, you can just go meet with them. And so right now that's all changed, and you have to set up meetings. And so that aspect of it I've missed so far. But, you know, we'll get through it. We'll work it out.
All right. Let's dig – actually, before we get into some other bill questions, the four things y'all voted on today, any of them of note?
Well, we passed the economic development packages, which the biggest one in my mind was we passed the some legislation that made the COVID money, the payments that individuals received, we made that where you won't have to pay taxes on that. And we just basically codified what the governor had she had done temporarily. But we passed that in the House, and now, of course, that goes to the Senate. So that's the biggest one, in my opinion, that came out of today.
All right. And a lot to talk about with bills with you, but the one that's getting the most chatter around the state is HB 213. Your bill, they're calling it the anti-censorship bill. What do you call it? What's the name?
Well, officially, I think it's called the Anti-Censorship Act. And what that does is it's aimed at Facebook and Twitter and, you know, a few others that have social media platforms. They have server farms where they house all their computer servers, and they strategically place them around the U.S. Well, in Alabama, there's two of them in North Alabama. And what it's aimed at, the bill basically just says that social media platforms that censor individuals or websites that allow comments, if they censor comments, then they don't qualify for tax abatements or tax incentives that are used in economic development to bring companies in. So what it does, in my opinion, is, I mean, it's being a good steward of the people's money. I mean, otherwise, we're basically giving tax incentives and tax abatements to companies. We're paying companies to censor us. And whether you're on the left or you're on the right, going down that road of censorship is scary. I mean, there's a reason the First Amendment is the First Amendment. I mean, and protecting speech is the cornerstone of our republic. And once we start going down that road where we're censoring speech just because you don't agree with someone else's opinion, then we're really on the road to tyranny. It's a scary place that we don't want to be. And I don't want to spend my money or the taxpayers' money on financing those companies. So I thought this was a good first step. It's a creative step, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. It's a different angle than others have taken, and it's kind of taken off. I've had several other legislators from other states contact me about it, and they're interested in doing it in their states.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to get to there, that you figured this out for Alabama, but what about other states? If there's server farms here, there's obviously other states that have the same thing going on.
Right, exactly. And so it's kind of started taking a life of its own, to be honest with you. I've had some national interest in it, and so that's good. You know, hopefully we can get this through the House and get it through the Senate and get signed into law. Right now, what's coming out of it is, you know, people are talking about it. It's coming to people's attention. People are aware of it, and that's important. You know, we don't need to go to sleep. We need to stay awake and focus on protecting our individual freedoms and liberties.
Which kind of brings up another side discussion here, a side road. So tax abatements, and we talk about economic incentives and tax abatements, are those, because often we talk about those at the beginning, right? That so-and-so is coming to Alabama and here's the deal been cut. Are those one-time things, or it sounds like here that's something that's ongoing, like yearly tax abatements, or do they have sunsets or?
Well, usually when those are given, they have a time frame in them where they're, you know, for so many years you'll get this tax abatement, or they are sunsetted and they have to be reapproved. I know we've done that for Austal and other companies. But what my bill does also is that it allows whoever's giving the abatement, whether it be a municipality or a county commission or the state government, they can rescind those. So that's important because, you know, a company could come in and they're behaving one way and then they start censoring and then you're still on the hook for those tax abatements. And so what my bill does is it allows that governing body to take those back. So that's good. That would keep them on their toes.
What is the
incentive for them to behave correctly?
So, and the judging of censoring, how do you dictate that? I mean, if they say they're doing it, or what if they're doing it and they're not saying they're doing it? How do you come down on an assessment that, yes, they are censoring?
Well, I think you'd have to, like any type of trial, you'd gather evidence and show that they're doing it. I mean, you know, it's not perfect legislation, but it is a good step in that direction. I mean, and the difference there is that they're taking taxpayer dollars. You know, I'm a big free market kind of guy. I mean, I believe that if someone's doing it in one side, say Facebook's doing it, then you jump over to Gab or Parler or whomever, and that may not be doing it. But in this case, the fact that they're taking taxpayer dollars, I think that's the defining line right there that separates it.
All right, coming right back with State Rep Chip Brown, District 105. It's one of the bills that's got a lot of attention for us. Fortified homes down here, big deal. We're going to talk about that, plus an update on Anaya's Law, all when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. Guest with us right now, Representative Chip Brown, District 105, stepped off the floor as it is the first week in session in Montgomery, and we continue to try to get news from the people that are making it in Montgomery, and you're one of them, Chip, for sure. Your Anti-Censorship Act has been getting a lot of traction here in Alabama, and like you said, outside the state, so at least you got people talking about that, and you say other states are looking into similar bills?
Yeah, definitely. I've had interest from other state legislators from around the country, and you know that happens a lot. If you have a good piece of legislation, other states will call asking about it, and then you know we do the same thing. We'll see something that is working in another conservative state, and we'll check with them and see how it's working, and if maybe that would work in Alabama. And so it's. You know, that's a good thing.
You get that? I mean, you get like issue of Legislators Monthly magazine or something, and it shows you here's an article on what they're doing in Ohio.
Well, you know, they do. There's actually several different
really?
Legislative groups. Yeah. There's American Legislative Exchange. What is it? ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council. Then there's Southern Legislative SLC, Southern Legislative Commission. I guess that's what that is. But they, you know, they put out magazines and newsletters and stuff. I mean, it's interesting to read. I never really get any ideas out of that.
I got to grab a copy from you sometime of that. I'd love to see what those things look like.
Yeah, it deals a lot. It's interesting. They cover different policies and states and trends. And, you know, a lot of times you can actually get some fairly decent economic numbers and that sort of thing in there. But I don't know. It's just another trade organization.
But
and you're we're all automatically members of that. I don't know where their funding really comes from. But
do you get the free calendar or the you know? Do you get the bumper sticker?
How do you say that? I had one yesterday. Alex sent me one that has a calendar.
See, I'm onto something.
This is from the National Conference of State Legislatures (NCSL).
There you
but
go.
But yet has a calendar. That's pretty funny.
See, I knew it. It's all marketing. All right, I want to get into a couple other bills here, and we're going to get around to Anaya's Law that you've talked about with us so many times. I want to get the latest. But the Alabama Homes Funding or Strengthen Alabama Homes Funding the bill. What is this? You and I have talked about this some in the past. Can you lay it out, kind of what this is all about?
Sure. Well, Strengthen Alabama Homes is a great program. It's been around for a few years, I think maybe 5-6 years, and it's a fortified roof program. So it's statewide, but really probably 99% of the participants are from Mobile and Baldwin County. But it doesn't have an economic requirement, so there's no income requirement on it. But it's basically a fortified roof program that's funded by contributions from insurance companies. So twice a year, insurance companies will pay into a pool to go towards Strengthen Alabama Homes. And what it is, and then it's administered by the Department of Insurance. But if you go online and you sign up, you need a new roof, you go online and you sign up for it, they'll send out three estimators. And they'll come out and for three different companies. And they'll tell you, oh, well, you qualify, your, you know, your roof will cost this much. And then you pick between one of those three, and then when your number comes up in the program, and it's all random, it's just, you know, whatever, what number you're signed up is when, what number you are, and then they'll send a contractor out there, and they'll pay $10,000 for you to get a new fortified roof. And so the way that works is if your roof is $10,000, then you don't pay a dime. But if your roof is $15,000, then they'll pay the first $10,000 of the 15, and then you come out of pocket five. But the problem with the program has always been that it's paid for by donations from insurance companies. And why would you get donations from insurance companies? Because they have a vested interest in you having a better roof, because it's about less money that they have to pay out for after hurricanes and that sort of thing.
Oh, it's the stuff under the roof, right? I mean, the roof is protects what outlay they would have to have for when there's not a roof.
And it's good for consumers, because a good example, I have a fortified roof on my house, and my insurance premium went down by half. And I've heard of people that have even had more than that. And there's plenty of fortified roof. You don't have to go through Strength Alabama Homes to get a fortified roof. But this a fortified roof what a fortified roof is, it costs a little bit more money, but underneath your shingles or underneath your, and the shingles have to be a certain type, and if you do a metal roof, it has to be a certain type, but underneath it, it has an underlayment that won't allow water into your house.
Yeah, stuff and is cool. That stuff is that self seals.
Yes, it's amazing. And then also you have to have a certain number of hurricane straps to strap the decking down. And so in the past, the problem with the program has always been it's too popular for the amount of funding that they have. And right now there's 1,300 people that are on the waiting list. So what my bill does is it allows that continued funding by the insurance companies, but it also allows every year that what happens, and the insurance department is more or less totally funded by the insurance companies through fees and fines paid for by insurance companies. And so in the past, anything over 25% that was left over in the budget from the Department of Insurance, they sent back to the general fund. So even though it didn't originate in the general fund, it was sent to the general fund. So what my bill does, and it's supported by the insurance department, is it takes anything over 25% that at the end of the year, which could be $2 million, it could be $10 million. It just depends on how many fees and fines were paid that year by insurance companies. And it takes all that money and puts it into Strength in Alabama Homes. And then it also allows the director of insurance, to the commissioner of insurance, to be able to have some flexibility and allocate money from his budget to Strength in Alabama Homes. And so what that's going to do is that's going to allow us to clear out that backlog of 1,300 people waiting for roofs. And then moving forward, we'll be able to do a lot more roofs, a larger number, because it works out that for every $1 million, you can do 100 roofs.
Okay.
So, and I'll tell you a story.
Let's do this. I'm right up against a break, because I want to ask, I got so many more questions on that. Let's hold the story, and then I've got questions coming in for you. Can you hold through the news break?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Coming right back, Representative Chip Brown, Strength in Alabama Homes. We've talked about the subject in the past, but we also have talked about that backlog. And this may be a way to help expedite moving through that list. Could mean good news for you or me or you or you or you. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Continue our discussion with Representative Chip Brown, and this is, this subject, and I'm thinking back, you and I are just talking stories about strengthen Alabama homes and the roof fortification. I've been talking about this off and on, maybe 5 years, is that right? Something like that. And it's been every time we talk about it, we get lots of questions, lots of phone calls. This is obviously very popular.
Yeah, it is very popular. And you know, initially, I think the 5 or 6 years ago when it came out, they were overwhelmed with how popular it was. I don't think they anticipated really taking off like it did. And their intentions are good. They're good people. They really were overwhelmed with how popular it is. And what we're doing with my legislation is it'll make it where it has a more consistent funding mechanism so that we can clear out the backlogs and really get more people in. I mean, the most important thing is to have more people that actually participate and get roofs.
You know, so, I'm looking at, by the way, you talk about the popularity. I'm looking at the text line now, and it's people that have done it are in line for it. This is a question for you, and I don't know if you know. So Ben is asking, how has the Strengthen Alabama Homes program been affected by the lack of supply and workforce since the two hurricanes? I'm one that's been on the list since its inception.
Well, it's really what hurts it more is the lack of funding, because it is totally reliant. The current funding mechanism is totally reliant on donations or contributions done twice a year from insurance companies in Alabama. So that really is the slowing, the funneling right there that takes so long. And like I said, about for every $1 million, they can do 100 roofs. And what this bill does is it'll allow the insurance department to go in and really clear out most, if not all, of that 1,300 people waiting on roofs, and then we could start fresh and really have a good mechanism moving forward where we could really, you sign up for the program and you hopefully won't have to wait that long to get a roof. Because unfortunately what happens a lot of times, people will sign up for it and then they wait, and then a year goes by and they wait, and another year goes by, and then you're getting water in your house, or a storm comes and you need a new roof and you just can't wait any longer, and you have to go and do a new roof on your own that you should be getting assistance with. So hopefully this will be a huge step forward in making some progress, making a dent in that.
Yeah, I mean, that's real world stuff. I mean, I'm glad you're taking that to legislature, that, you know, people get on list and they sit there and then things happen, and they can't just sit forever doing this. And it's interesting that while some parts of government grow so easily, something like this that and it serves the private sector in the fact that it serves the insurance companies, but at the same time, I'm sure there's somebody out there that wants all their stuff destroyed so they can get a big insurance check, but in reality, most people just don't want their stuff destroyed, right? And the insurance company doesn't want it either because they don't want to pay for it. I see everybody's motivations. They make sense to me. It seems like it's an honest move here. So if the insurance companies, if we can allocate more money, let's do it.
Well, it's one of those rare instances where, you know, in my mind, there's no one that's against this. I mean, it's a win-win for the insurance companies, but most importantly, it's a win for the consumer. And it's not involving taxpayer dollars, so that's even better. And so it's a good program. And, you know, how this legislation came about, I am in the House. I'm the only member of the insurance committee, the House Insurance Committee, in the House that's from Mobile or Baldwin County. I'm the only coastal guy on there. And after Hurricane Sally, I called the insurance department and said, hey, we've got to fix this. And we have conversations about Strengthen Alabama constantly. So I got in the car. I drove up to Montgomery and met with the insurance commissioner and the head of Strengthen Alabama Homes. And I said, we've got to figure out how to do this. And so to their credit, they came up with a plan, and I had a plan, and we got together within about 3 weeks and mashed them together and came up with this piece of legislation. And they moved very quickly on it. This is a Strengthen Alabama Homes is a very top priority for the Alabama Department of Insurance. So it's good to know that, and it's good that we have people trying to look out for coastal Alabama, because, you know, in the past, when people had their insurance companies drop them after, you know, Hurricane Ivan and Hurricane Katrina, it didn't appear to be that way. But they're really working to recruit more insurance companies to come in and do wind and hail coverage and write more policies closer to the water. And so they really have a focus on coastal Alabama, and that's good.
You know, Representative, this is a part of this, the politics of this, and we've talked about it. I've talked about it in the past, that you're talking about being the only person on from coastal Alabama. And I'm thinking right now they've, you know, with the damage they received in Fultondale, let alone, you know, deadly tornadoes that have torn through our state. You wonder if you can get with those other members that come from tornado-affected areas, even though we can be tornado-affected here, and say, hey, guys, y'all need to work with us on this because it's y'all too, right? I mean, those roofs would make a difference in those areas.
Yeah. And I've made that argument to House members in the past. I've had some Strength Alabama Homes. I had a bill 2 years ago that just said that any of the information that, as a consumer, if you go on and when you apply for the program and you have to share your phone number and your social security number or any pertinent private information, that the Strength Alabama Homes and Department of Insurance, they can't share that information with anyone. That it's okay. Against the law. And so I brought that legislation a couple of years ago, and we had that discussion, particularly with people from North Alabama, and they understand it. They get it, because really this program applies to them too, that, you know, they need fortified roofs just like we do on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
But it just tends to be more popular on the coast because we have the dramatic impact of hurricanes. So and it's always been more of a focus, you know, whereas in North Alabama, they do get those tornadoes, but they're not as frequent as
right.
Seems to be.
Well, or they're more narrow in scope, you know.
Right.
I mean, it can
right.
affect somebody on one side of the street, not the other. All right, let's do this. Let's put a note in our calendars here that when we go further in session, something is moving on this. You come back on and we revisit this and talk more about it.
This should be on the floor. Well, it's on the agenda for Tuesday to be on the floor of the House. So I'm on the Rules Committee in the House, and so I know that it was picked to be on the floor next Tuesday. So hopefully we'll move it up to the Senate, and we'll get it voted on in the Senate.
All right, that's good. And we'll talk about it next week then, because a lot of folks are very interested in this. I mean, I'm looking at the text line. There's within the audience, there's multiple people right now that are in that 1300 backlog. All right. Latest on Anaya's Law. You and I have talked. I mean, we talked about this last year.
Yeah. It was originally on the calendar for this last Wednesday. And there were some little technical issues not related to the bill that we had to clear up. And it will be on the House Judiciary Committee calendar this coming Wednesday, and also my other bill, the Sexual Assault Victims Bill of Rights, HB 137, should also be on the calendar judiciary this next Wednesday. Anaya's Law, I mean, last year it passed the House unanimously, had bipartisan support from Republicans and Democrats, and made its way to the Senate and was scheduled to be voted on in the Senate for final passage the Tuesday that we were supposed to come back, and we were cut short because of a COVID outbreak. So I think this is the year. We get it done this year. This bill can save lives, and it's comprehensive criminal bond reform is so important to the people of Alabama. I mean, you know, Sean, the only time that you can be held without bond technically in Alabama is if you're charged with capital murder, and this will allow district attorneys the opportunity to request an individual be held without bond if they're deemed a imminent threat to the community, to themselves, or they're a flight risk. And they would go to the judge and request an evidentiary hearing on to present evidence of why that individual should be held. And the judge can grant it and have that request and can, you know, hold the individual without bond pending trial. And that keeps you know, a dangerous predator off the street.
If people, and I know that there's a lot of this, like you and I are working off no knowledge, obviously, of this bill, but a couple of things so people understand how it works, why you believe that it'll stand the legal challenges, is that it, first of all, and correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't compel the judge, it gives the option. Am I right? Is it putting it in that, regular language?
That's right. It's to go take a step further back, it's called Anaya's Law because it's named after Anaya Blanchard, mm-hmm. who was a young college student that went to Southern Union College in Opelika, and she lived in Auburn. And she had actually gone to a family funeral in Birmingham and had driven back home to Auburn, and she stopped off in a convenience store and went in to buy a snack, and this individual that's accused of the crime spotted her in the convenience store and kidnapped her and assaulted her and killed her. And he was out, the individual that's accused of it, was out on bond for an attempted murder, kidnapping, and robbery of two individuals, and one was a 77-year-old man that when the police pulled him over, the victim was in the car. But because of the way the Constitution is written, they had to grant him bond. And so he got out, I believe it was $250,000 on bond, and then short time later he went and was accused of killing Anaya Blanchard. But what this bill does, it's important in that it's not a blanket approach. So if an individual that's charged with a violent Class A felony, which would be your kidnapping, rape, violent domestic assault, those sorts of violent crimes towards another person, it's not a blanket approach where they're all held without bond. I wouldn't support that, Sean. I think we have individual rights, and you're innocent until proven guilty. And the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution doesn't support that. So what we've done is with our legislation is, it fits in with the, it's constitutionally sound because the federal government does this or something similar to this, but it allows an individual to be held without bond if they fit those parameters of their flight risk or imminent threat to the community or themselves. And the judge does not have to grant the request from the district attorney to hold the hearing, or he can go ahead and grant bond, or he can have the hearing and then say, yeah, he should be held without bond, or no, I don't think you met the requirements and he can be released. But what it does, it gives those district attorneys an opportunity to keep an individual off the streets that they know when they get back out on the streets that they're going to be a violent predator. And then it also gives judges another tool where they know that and they can hold those individuals without bond. You don't know how many judges, and how many district attorneys and law enforcement personnel from around the state that I have heard from that have said, we need this. This has to happen. I mean, we're dealing with a 1901 Constitution, and that doesn't fit the parameters of the crimes that we're looking at today. It just doesn't on the criminal side. And so I think this bill is extremely important. I think it'll save lives.
And it's good that y'all have done the due diligence on that, because I don't think anybody would be surprised if there's going to be a lawsuit, right? I mean, that's going to happen.
I would expect that. That always happens. You'll have ACLU or someone will file a lawsuit. It doesn't matter what, you know, any type of criminal procedure bill, the ACLU or some type of organization like that will file a lawsuit. It always happens.
Okay.
But we really have worked hard, because what I would hate is to pass this bill and we think, hey, we're doing something good, and instead it's not constitutionally sound and the court's coming to rip it away from us. And I've had constitutional scholars go over this with a fine-tooth comb, and they say it's very solid.
All right. We will get updates throughout, you know, session from you, and hopefully next week we'll be talking about good news on the fortified homes.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. It's always great to be with you.
Hey, good to have you as well. Representative Chip Brown, our guest. A big thank you to him. We're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile. Got some text to get to and phone calls at 343-0106.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, and Paul Feinbaum show on the way in about 5 minutes. I got my shipment here. Look at here. I'm going to take some pictures when we go next hour. Put some of these up on the... Hello. So I got the new issuing of shirts from my friends at the Nutria Rodeo, NutriaRodeo.com. They make those super cool. We've talked about them for years. Local. Some of their shirts are so hyper local. They're to zip codes in the city of Mobile. They make really cool T-shirts. And I got a delivery of some Mardi Gras themed new shirts from the Nutria Rodeo. I'll put some pictures up. But yeah, if you go to like Nutria Rodeo, like used to happen out on the causeway. So name NutriaRodeo.com. Those of you new to town might not know the history of the Nutria Rodeo. Maybe we'll do it. I've got some good classic audio, too, of discussions of the Nutria Rodeo back in the day. Back in the day when they ran some control burns there in the Roseau Cane on the causeway. Set it on fire. You know, you have a Nutria Rodeo, and you could also set the causeway on fire. Those were the days. Do I have enough time for reminisce? We can talk about... Any of y'all with me old enough? Remember Max? On the causeway, remember the going in for a big baddie burger at Max? There, but all by myself on this, or there any? I don't know that I'm old timer yet. I mean, I'm not 50 yet. But there's got to be, remember that going into Max for the big baddie burger back in the days? Causeway was a completely different place back then. It's somebody's asking, let's do it. You know why we don't do a Nutria Rodeo now? So this texter said, let's do it. Because that's the reason Nutria numbers aren't where they were back when I was a kid in the 80s. Grew up pretty much on that causeway. That's what I did for fun. I mean, even before I could drive, had parents nice enough to back the boat down, put me in back then, is alligators. And that's the change. We used to have so many Nutria when we had so few alligators. We got so many alligators, we have so many fewer Nutria now, which is good. Nutria are invasive. Not supposed to be here, tear up the marsh. Alligators solved that. Nutria used to be everywhere on the causeway back in the 80s and maybe into the 90s, but as gator populations came up, well, then the Nutria Rodeo came down, or Nutria numbers came down. And so I don't know, we could have a Nutria Rodeo, but it might be a little tougher hunting than it was in the past. Your Grant says Argyros. Yes, remember Argyros? That stuck around. Argyros stuck around for a while. Max, though, hey, Buford said he's 43, so Buford, a few years younger than me, he remembers it, the Nutria Rodeo. So maybe we'll bring that back, that discussion. I'm sure there's people going, what are these people talking about, a Nutria Rodeo? But it's the name of the T-shirt company as well. Great folks here, make it very cool. So check them out, NutriaRodeo.com. I've got some ready to put on some, whether we're going to a parade or not, which that's a whole other discussion, what may or may not be happening in downtown. I've got my shirts for it, that's for sure. All right, big thank you to Representative Chip Brown, to my man Dalton for coming in with those sexy bills, and to y'all for being here and part of Midday Mobile. We'll do it again tomorrow. Get cranked up bright and early at 6 with Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. All right, Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Remember, streaming online, FMTalk1065.com.